Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're unbelievably delicious. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your first order. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday on a usual basis, but because we are in unusual times here with shelter in place and no baseball, we're doing 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And coming up on today's show, I actually do really want to take this opportunity to provide some updates about the Giants and about the league and about the draft, because there's not necessarily anything concrete, but we do have several rumors kind of floating around that we haven't been able to provide any updates on up to this point. So I want to take this opportunity to do that today. And then tomorrow I want to reintroduce the mailbag. It kind of fell off my radar accidentally when we were doing this themed content, but a lot of you are still listening and I really appreciate that. And I want to get your voices involved again. And so we'll put up the prompt on Twitter at some point today. And you can follow me there if you don't yet on Twitter, at Ben Caspick, that's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. But I do want to take this opportunity to provide those updates about, A, the proposed possible return of baseball. I mean, that's a huge deal. B, the draft, which for a couple months, we haven't known exactly when it's going to take place or how many rounds it's going to be. And so we have some updates there. And then also a rumor related to the Giants and their interest in a potential player and an acquisition. But then, of course, rosters are frozen. They're not allowed to make moves right now. So we'll have to add that caveat. So I want to start with the rumors about MLB's kind of plan to try to play baseball in 2020. I think that's the biggest story going on, of course, right now. And I'll just start it off by saying I'm a little bit skeptical that it's going to work just simply because of how the United States is kind of faring in this pandemic relative to other countries that have been able to resume baseball. Like we're seeing baseball in Taiwan and now in Korea, where the KBO is having its season start, you know, just a couple days ago, and these games are being broadcast on ESPN, one game per day on ESPN. But the reason they were able to do this is because they've been able to get the pandemic under control in their country. And they have systems in place that they think will be able to keep it under control. But here in the United States, we're still seeing surges of cases in several states. And we're trying to like reopen the country right now when we're very much not at the same place as some of these other countries. And so that makes me skeptical about all this. But the reports are, and I'm just going to go with John Heyman on Twitter from today, because that's the most recent and reputable report, it's that MLB's target date to return is early July. And if it can be done, some like the idea of July 4th for symbolism. But that's a hope for now and far from a certainty. And any early July date depends on data, health concerns, and testing availability. Heyman continues that, quote, the goal is to play at teams' regular home parks, and many owners are suggesting even spring training at those home parks, i.e. Dodger Stadium, Miller Park, etc., not regular Arizona and Florida sites. That's being debated. If spring is in franchise cities, they'd rely on intra-squad games. One more tweet from Heyman here. He says, while the hope is to play the season in regular parks, MLB is doing homework on a three-city plan and the Arizona bubble plan. The advantage to the quarantined Arizona plan is a more controlled setting, but concerns about heat, one time zone, and player approval relegate it a backup for now. So this is the latest we have. And the big kind of underscored point to me is that it's dependent on data, health concerns, and testing availability. And I just don't have a tremendous amount of confidence that in the next couple of months, we're just going to turn this whole thing around and have data that suggests things are going well, health concerns that are mitigated by the data suggesting things are going well, and testing availability, which has been a problem this entire time. And I just don't have a tremendous amount of confidence that we're suddenly going to change in these areas, especially with parts of the country trying to suddenly reopen in the midst of not really having things under control. We're probably going to see things get worse, a lot worse, in my kind of semi-educated opinion. So I'm skeptical about this, but at the same time, really hoping that baseball can find a way to safely return. So I don't want to be a downer here, but I just, you know, I don't really see how this is going to work. But that being said, MLB is apparently preparing to propose this to the players' union, and, you know, it could be that the wheels start to go into motion here about it, and we'll see what happens. So that's the plan for now. Spring training potentially to start in about a month, and then the season to start in about 2 months. And obviously, we don't know exactly the details of what a season would even look like, but we would be talking about major restructuring, no more divisions, at least for now. You know, the NL West as we know it would not exist. I've heard proposals about just splitting all 30 teams into three sections, the West, the Central, and the East, and then those teams in each quote-unquote division only play each other, and they don't go out of the division, so it would limit travel. You would just stay on the West, except in the proposal I saw, the Astros and the Rangers in Texas were in the West, and so there would be a lot of travel. But, you know, huge, obviously, changes would be in store, and we would probably be looking at a dramatically shortened season as well. So just crazy times that we find ourselves in, but this is kind of the latest, and I definitely wanted to come on and discuss that. So coming up next, we'll talk about the draft, which I think is a really big deal because that's going to happen. That's not something that's really debatable, and it's going to be super interesting, and it may be just about a month away. So we'll break down the latest on what to expect with the draft, and we'll also talk about the Giants' interest in a player, a reported interest in a player. But first, I want to talk about Built Bar, which is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I said this on Tuesday, and I'm saying it again now. I cannot believe how delicious these things are considering the ingredients and how low they are in sugar and how high they are in protein. They've got 16 amazing flavors on BuiltBar.com. They've got 8 chocolate nut flavors and 8 chocolate nut free flavors. And yes, the chocolate is 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which is a huge deal with bars like these. Some of them are grainy and hard to get down. But these bars are soft, easy to chew, and to me, the big kicker is the low sugar content. If you're a health-conscious person like me trying to stay fit, you know, in these crazy times when we're stuck indoors and maybe not able to exercise as much as we would like, the Built Bar is kind of the perfect thing to be eating right now in a quarantine. Just to give an example, the peanut butter brownie flavor has 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, and just 3 grams of sugar and 3 grams of net carbs, and it tastes like a candy bar. I just can't emphasize that enough. Anyway, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON and get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Postmates has been a lifesaver during this pandemic and the resulting stay-at-home orders. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. But I kind of love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening the door. Given what's going on in the world, they created non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I have been using to order takeout from my local restaurants. Listen up. You guys need to be supporting your neighborhood spots right now. I've been ordering only local because it's a great way to support my community. And Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier by picking up everything I need from Walgreens and 7-Eleven and dropping it outside my door. Just the other day, needed some medication. Someone from Postmates was able to pick it up from CVS and bring it to my house within like 20 or 30 minutes. It was just incredible. So thankful to the workers who are out there doing this job right now for Postmates and doing a great job. Download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get everything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit in your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, so now I want to talk about the draft. So apparently we're on the cusp of hearing specific details about when the draft is going to be and how many rounds it's going to be. And the latest is that it'll probably be on June 10th. And we knew that it was going to be between June 10th and July 20th. That was agreed to already. And that it was probably going to be either 5 or 10 rounds, which is a huge reduction from its normal length. And there's kind of unanimous support by scouting departments and front offices that they want a 10-round draft, yet what we're hearing is that it's probably going to be 5 rounds. And this is driven by owners across the league in an effort to cut costs. And so it's not something I'm excited about at all. I think it's, you know, it's bad for everyone except the owners, really. Bad for the amateurs, certainly. They're the ones who are hurt the most by this. And it's also bad for teams looking to, you know, have a solid draft. When you're limited to only 5 rounds, it limits your ability. If you are good at the draft, it, you know, there are so many players historically who turn out to be diamonds in the rough taken in the 6th plus round. I mean, it's routine that there are quality picks out there in round 6 plus, but that would no longer be on the table here in the 2020 draft. So it would definitely change the strategy. I'm not like the number one authority on Giants drafting by any means at all. So there are definitely better sources out there if you want to hear exactly how this affects the Giants. They still do have all those top 100 picks. Their first few rounds, they have a ton of picks relative to other teams. They have the 2 comp picks for losing Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith in free agency, plus all of their additional normal picks. And there are multiple teams who have lost draft picks this year, including like the Astros, who I believe don't get a 1st or 2nd round pick as a punishment, as part of their punishment for cheating with the illegal sign stealing. So that kind of bumps everybody up. Anyway, it's kind of a depressing outcome. We don't have official word yet, but multiple sources are kind of saying that's what it's going to be. So as soon as that's official, we will mention it. And you know, that's only a month away, so at the very least, I mean, it'll be something baseball-related that will happen in about a month, and it'll be a lot of content. We'll be able to talk about the players the Giants select. We'll be able to you know, do a mock draft or something before the draft, so that'll be fun, and that's kind of coming up, potentially, if in fact the draft is on June 10th. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about today is this rumor involving the Giants and a free agent. You probably have seen this. If you haven't, I'll be happy to be the first to tell you that there's rumors about the Giants and Yasiel Puig. So that's something that we saw kind of all offseason as with Puig as a possible fit for the Giants. And frankly, it's always made a lot of sense. I don't think he's quite as good as maybe a lot of people think, because he's kind of taken some steps backwards in his career. There's some troubling trends with him. He hasn't really had a really good season since 2014. Basically, his first full season when he kind of set the world on fire for his first couple of years there. Ever since then, he's been more like good than very good. And kind of lately, he's been more average than anything. He's also a weird fit in that he has reverse platoon splits. He does not hit lefties well, despite being a right-handed hitter. In his career against left-handed pitching, he's been 9% above average. That's not bad at all. But in the last 3 calendar years, he's actually been 13% below average against left-handed pitching. If you look at that same sample size, same time sample, 3 calendar years, against right-handed pitching, he's hitting .279 with a .339 on base and .520 slugging, a 124 weighted runs created plus. So dramatic splits there, and not the splits you would expect. He's one of the few guys that we see this kind of drop off in the reverse way. If we just look at his career numbers against righties, we're talking 30% above average. He does have the reverse platoon split, so it's kind of appropriate to think of him like a left-handed hitter. But anyway, I do want to point out like what was the rumor, not to bury the lead there. But Francis Romero, who is a member of the BBWAA, and, you know, according to his Twitter bio, he's about to be an author of a book called Dream and Reality: Cuban Baseball Emigration 1960 to 2018. So apparently plugged into Cuban baseball, and Yasiel Puig, of course, from Cuba. And he says on April 26th, so this is a couple weeks ago now, he said that sources, Yasiel Puig is very close to sign with San Francisco Giants, a source tells me. The contract amount is unknown, but would have a one-year option. Both sides, Puig and Giants, are waiting for MLB to clarify the return date of baseball to make the official agreement. So this isn't like Ken Rosenthal reporting this. This is a guy who has 1,500 Twitter followers. Not that that necessarily means much, but he is a member of the BBWAA. According to his Twitter bio, I did see some of our local reporters, Shulman and or Baggerly, confirm the identity of this reporter and that he is a legitimate reporter who is a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. That's what BBWAA stands for. So anyway, that was what Romero said. And then the follow-up was that Henry Shulman of the San Francisco Chronicle said on Twitter, folks are asking me about a tweet from a Spanish language reporter saying Giants and Puig have an agreement pending baseball reopening. I still think Puig has a good shot at being Giant. Please, please, please. But two people I trust have warned me off today's tweet. And then Andy Baggerly received a text from Giants President of Baseball Operations Farhan Zaidi saying, quote, we are not having any conversations, internal or external, about player transactions at this point. So that was the response. They seem to be brushing aside these reports, but at the same time, that's probably what they would be doing if they were actually interested, because I don't think they're allowed to be communicating with players at this time, given that transactions are frozen. I think they're not allowed to negotiate with players. So that's the rumor. I guess I would consider it a rumor at this point. But at the end of the day, it's an interesting rumor because Yasiel Puig is an interesting player. There's no doubt about that. We talked a lot in the offseason about whether or not he was a fit. And as I was trying to say before we a little bit changed the subject to the actual tweet that started all this, is that it's appropriate to think of him as a left-handed hitter. So like, he's a guy, if you're platooning him, who would be in there with Yastrzemski and Dickerson potentially in that lineup against a right-handed pitcher. So that's actually a pretty interesting outfield. If you've got Dickerson in left, Yastrzemski in center, and Puig in right, that's, you know, pretty solid group against a righty, considering all those guys' numbers combined against right-handed pitching, well above average, each of them. And the other factor here is that if and when baseball returns, it's probably going to be with expanded rosters. Plus, there may be a universal DH, and so that would open up an additional spot they would need to fill in the lineup on any given night, and it would definitely help you to have Yasiel Puig in the mix, because then you could like DH Hunter Pence regularly. You could DH, you know, Alex Dickerson and have Pence out there and Puig and Yastrzemski and whatever. It just would give them more options in this wild new world we find ourselves in. So it makes a lot of sense potentially, and I frankly would be excited to see it because he's not boring. I mean, it would be entertainment value, I think. And also he can be a good player, and so it would be interesting to see that. And unfortunately, we won't know until transactions are unfrozen, which we don't know when that will be, if that will even happen for many months. So we shall see. The last point I want to make about this is that the tweet from Francis Romero says it would have a one-year option. So that sounds to me like it could be a two-year deal, like a one-year deal plus an option. So like a 2020 deal plus an option for 2021. So we'll see. I take it with a huge grain of salt, given that the local reporters downplayed the report. And of course, we just don't know if it's true or not. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. No, 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspic. that's where I'm going to post the prompt for tomorrow's Q&A. So be sure to follow me there and look out for the prompt. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.